Professor Peter Lynham.
Yes, and despite all plans, we're not going to talk on the topic that Big Hungry suggested last time because of what's happening.
Okay, what did I suggest? I think I said Marmite or Vegemite. You said, well, I'll tell you next time.
Yeah, that's right. The history, and that would be very interesting, the history of Sanitarians.
The Unitarian Church. No, we'll talk about them another time.
The yummy thought.
We might as well keep it current when we can, eh?
We do need to keep it current because, you know, there are lots of dimensions to the present Arab-Israeli conflict.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we have a situation that could become incredibly serious.
Right. Can you break it down for a ning-nong such as myself?
Well, I'm not able to give the full, you know, sort of political insight. I do wonder whether Netanyahu is sitting on the edge of being kicked out of office and put in prison. And so these acts are designed to keep him in the attention of the Israeli public. So there's that dimension to it. What I'm struck by is that there's clearly a religious dimension to it. And I think we just have to note that all of this is happening right through Ramadan, when for Muslims, you know, this is the holy month.
Mm.
There are high tensions. They're not able to go on the pilgrimage to Mecca.
Right.
For lots of reasons, it's an inflamed situation. And in fact, the whole story began with the Israelis evidently disrupting what was going on in the Dome of the Rock. This is the great mosque on the old site of the Jerusalem Temple. Do you understand what I mean by this?
I believe we've spoken about this in the past.
Yes, we have.
And there was some sort of amnesty where everyone was like, all right, we can share the space, but have the Israelis said, no, get out of here, to the Palestinians?
Well, it was a simple matter of the amount of noise coming from one side that the Israeli president, not the prime minister, this is right at the beginning of Ramadan.
Yes.
Wanted to give a speech at the foot of the Wailing Wall to appeal to conservative Jews, you know, who always dream of rebuilding the temple. And so they went, police went and pulled out the plugs of the speakers, so it is said, of the ceremonies going on within the Dome of the Rock, where so many Arabs were gathering for their worship, you know, in a very critical time. And so that began the tit-for-tat fighting, which was really kind of thuggery on each side, of just sort of throwing rocks at each other, right through the old city of Jerusalem. So that's the beginning. And now as we come to the end of Ramadan, the incidents are getting more and more strident and striking. And part of it is, would seem to be, that firstly, in Israel, the very conservative Jews who don't even believe in the right of Israel to exist, but still have a rather controlling role in the parliament, the Knesset of Israel, are demanding greater control of Jerusalem. And at the same time, Hamas is, you know, an Iranian-oriented faction within the Palestinians, is determined to concede no ground and really in some ways wants trouble in order to increase its profile.
Wants trouble is troubling, isn't it?
It is a very, very troubling circumstance because of the political implications that Netanyahu is trying to exploit this to get into power, and where tit-for-tats are blowing up buildings.
It seems like he has been incredibly heavy-handed in his approach to bombing the crap out of Palestine, and especially, you know, bombing up some of the news outlets and giving sort of excuses such as...
I mean, that seems an extraordinarily stupid thing to do.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing that riles the media more than when they themselves are attacked. But, you know, they want to be apparently neutral observers, and so that when their facilities are destroyed, they're likely to give a very, very dark interpretation of that.
Mm.
But, putting it from the Israeli point of view, I guess that there's an extraordinary level of bitterness in Israel from the conservative Jews who feel as though after that awful massacre that took place of the trampling to death of so many of the ultra-Orthodox, and you know, lots of ways in which they feel as though their need to expand, because they're an increasing section of Israel. Mm. You know, many more have been allowed in from Russia, and they want somewhere to live. Mm. And so they're demanding that space be made for them. And as far as they're concerned, Israel is their land. And so it doesn't really much matter who's occupying it at the moment. Mm.
It just seems like it's the sort of argument that will never be won if you are bombing and bulldozing your neighbours out of town. There's just going to be so much tension there. You're not going to create a safe space for this increasing population to live in.
You might garner the attention of some other powers in the world, though. How's that playing out, Peter?
I think the delicate situation, I mean, Israel is, I think, trying to exploit Biden not wanting to get involved
right.
in any new war.
Right.
And so Biden doesn't want trouble, mm. wants to call for peace, but you know, his early foreign policy actions have not been striking successes. And so they're reckoning on that he needs to keep saying the required attitude of Americans that we're in support of the state of Israel. And in a way, they're pushing it to see how far he will back them. Now, I think sooner or later, he's got to stop it.
Right.
But the skill in foreign policy may not really be quite there in the States at the moment. And the balances have changed a bit because Netanyahu is playing with high stakes. You know, he wants to stay in power. Mm. He's on the brink of losing power.
Hard out.
I guess that the overall sympathy, it's clear from the United Nations, the emergency meeting over the weekend, that there's a lot of feeling that while you can see faults on both sides, there's a disproportion of power and a disproportion of, you know, the Israelis can call on a highly organized and systematic army.
Mm.
The Palestinians have very little other than Hamas-provided rockets that can shoot their way and make minimal damage. What's the death toll? I think, isn't it 168 Palestinians and 7 Israelis?
Yeah, a handful of Israelis. Do you think it'll be long before the UN rolls in on the ground over there and calls for ceasefire and that sort of...
Well, the great problem is that in the history of Israeli-Palestinian relationships, the Oslo Accord of 1991 was the only one that showed any potential for doing something. And there, they had somehow to get buy-in from the other Arab countries on the side of Israel to control and restrain the Palestinians. But you see, the Palestinians now are no longer looking to... They're primarily looking to Iran. And Iran is an AWOL nation in the play of the Middle East anyway. So the potential of pulling in Egypt, well, indeed, the whole shape of the Middle East is so different since the popular uprisings and their suppression, that it's hard to see if anybody can control Hamas. And indeed, why would you want to? Because most Arabs would feel that the Jews have just gone too far.
Yeah, totally. All right, Peter, on that extremely heavy note, we will look forward to catching up with you next week. I am keen to keep an eye on the situation. So if it is still, I don't know how to put it.
It's still going on. Fuck it up. It's been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
So we just had some kind of buzzy climax right now.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know, and that's the thing.
Right.
Yes, you're right. We've got to watch.
Mm. Okay.
Otherwise, we'll come back to Marmite.
Thank you, Peter. It's an absolute pleasure having you to turn to. So thank you very much for that, and we'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Cheers, mate.
Marmite. Let's do Marmite.